الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected scholars, brothers, sisters, and my young friends, the verse of the Quran which I had the honor to recite before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu ittaqullah. O who you believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring taqwa in your life. Inculcate the sifat, the quality of taqwa in your heart. وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى. And leave riba and interest. If you look in the Quran, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many sins, vices, evils are mentioned. But no other bad deed has been condemned in Islam like the way riba and interest has been condemned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu attaqullah wadharu ma baqiya minal riba in kuntum mu'mineen. If you are a real, true believer, then leave riba and interest. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you don't leave transactions which are based on interest, usury, riba, then be prepared to wage war against Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will mention the reason why our Sharia, Islam, has condemned, has prohibited interest and usury. There are valid reasons. There are sound reasons for it. And this has not been prohibited only in Islam. The religions that came before us, the scriptures, the divine books that were given to other prophets alayhi salatu wassalam, if you study that, riba has also been condemned and prohibited in these books as well. But unfortunately, the content has been changed. Because distortion is the name of the game today. And they have said that interest is not illegal. Interest is legal. Usury is illegal. They have distributed riba into two parts. They say when you take riba or when you give interest in a huge number, then it is usury, this is impermissible. But if it's a small amount, if it's a minute number of money, wealth, then it is permissible, there is nothing wrong with it. If you just look at the harms riba and interest will bring to our communities. And this will not only affect the Muslim community, it will affect each and every single community. I was going through some stats about United States I came to know that 1% of the population in America owns the wealth of 35%. Islam discourages this. That rich people, they keep getting richer and richer. And poor people, they keep getting poorer and poorer. That does not mean that Islam wants everyone to have same sort of wealth. But the gap should not be that big. 1% of the population owns 35% of the entire wealth in America. This is what our Sharia dislikes. And you come to middle class. You come to middle class, 20% of the population of the middle class in America, they own the wealth of 80% of the population in America. 80% of the wealth. And then you come to a lower class. The 20% owns 80% of the wealth. 80% owns the 20% of the wealth. This is the stats in America. If you go to third world country, this will become even more worse. I was going through one another country, and the stats were extremely shocking to me. That 0.1% of the population owns 46% of the wealth of the country. 46. Almost half of the wealth is owned by 0.1% of the people. Another reason for riba to be impermissible and prohibited in our Sharia is that Sharia encourages kindness and compassion. If you look at the system of riba, this element of kindness has been taken out. Because the person who's giving loan, when he takes back this loan, he will charge extra money. This is what riba is. A person takes a loan from the bank, from any system, from any organization, any institute. You take this loan for your personal need. You take it for your business. You take it for your store. You take it for any other reason. You become bankrupt, or you're not able to pay back this organization or this system, this bank. They will force you to pay. They will not worry about your condition, that this person is going through a lot of financial crisis. So let's give him some extra time. They keep charging you money. If you take $5,000 from the bank, the interest will be charged. And after a few weeks, it's going to become $6,000. If you don't pay it on time, this will become $7,000. $7,000 will become $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $15,000. I know people, my brothers, who took loan from the bank, and the initial amount was only $5,000 to $10,000. Today, the amount is $60,000 to $70,000. They're sinking in and in. They're not able to come out. This is the system of riba. A poor person will keep becoming poor and poor. This is why our Sharia says that if you want to give loan without any compensation. Without any increase in the wealth, without any increase in the money. My brothers, unfortunately today, so many people in our society are indulged in riba and interest-based transactions. Business and trade has not been condemned in Islam. Islam is a complete religion. It gives clear guidance in every single step of a person's life. And it does take into consideration the needs of the humans. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. If something is not in our control, if something is not in our capacity, if we are not capable of doing something, Sharia will never enforce that law upon us. Allah is the leader of all the wise people in the world. He is the Ahkamul Hakimeen. But the thing that Sharia condemns, the thing that Allah prohibits, is riba and interest. So many people who are coming to the masjid regularly, many people who are punctual with other good deeds and ibadat, unfortunately they are also indulged in such sins. Ali ibn Madini rahimahullah ta'ala, a great muhaddith, a teacher of Imam al-Bukhari and also Imam Muslim rahimahumullah ta'ala. You can imagine his status in the field of hadith. The giants, the likes of Imam Bukhari and Muslim, are going to him to acquire knowledge, to gain hadith from him. Ali ibn al-Madini rahimahullah ta'ala. He says that my father passed away. It was the month of Ramadan and 27th night. I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Isha. And after half of the night, I thought that my father is no longer remains in the world. So I should go to his qabr and his grave. I should send something for him as isal thawab. He says that in the month of Ramadan, 27th night, I went to the graveyard. I sat next to the grave of my father and I started praying something from the Quran. After a few moments, I heard a noise and someone was screaming, and it felt as if someone was punishing this person. So I looked around, it was dark, I could not find anyone. So I was frightened myself. So I listened to the voice very, very carefully, where is this coming from? So I noticed that it's coming from the grave next to my father. So I went to the locality in the morning and asked the people that whose grave is this, who does this grave belong to? The people of the community told me that this grave belongs to so and so person. I thought to myself that this person was so pious in his life. As a child, I used to see him coming to the masjid regularly, praying salah in the first saf. He would be engaged in the recitation of the Quran regularly. His tongue would be moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So I went to his house, knocked on the door, and I asked his family members that, I mentioned the whole story that this has happened. I've heard screams from the grave of your father or your husband. Is there any sin you have in your mind? So the people of his household said, no, this person was extremely pious. He used to fulfill the rights of Allah, and he also used to fulfill the rights of the creation of Allah. We don't see any reason why this person is being punished in his grave. This person comes out, he talks to other members of the community. And he found one old person telling him that, yes, one thing comes to my mind, that this person had his own business. And he used to earn a lot of money. As he was aging and going in his 70s and 80s, he felt that he's becoming weak and his children are not supporting him. And he thought, there's no one to take care of this business anymore, and I will not be able to exert so much effort behind it. In order to acquire some sort of wealth and income, I should give this to someone else and I should take more money in return on interest. So he gave this entire business to someone and he used to collect interest on this business of his. Ali ibn al-Madini rahimahullah ta'ala, great muhaddith, he says that this thought came to my heart that this is that sin because of which he has been punished in his grave. This is the sin. Many people who are pious, they are also indulged. And there are so many forms of interest and usury prevalent and widespread in our day and age. This is why, my brothers, before doing any transaction, before doing any business, consult the people who are aware of the rules and regulations, the laws of Sharia. Consult with him, talk to them. Is this in compliance to the Islamic laws or not? Sometimes the entire system, entire business, entire trade is according to Sharia law. But there are few conditions within, that will make it impermissible. And whatever income you derive from it will be impermissible, prohibited. You're feeding that same thing to yourself, to your wife, to your children. How can you expect your children to be pious? You will be deprived from ilm, your children will be deprived from ilm. The tawfiq and ability from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out good actions will be taken away from Allah. And if you do happen to carry out good deeds, then it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, that person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had a clothing on his body. And 10% of it was mashkuk, not haram. It was doubtful. His ibadah, his salah is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You engage in one transaction based on haram and interest, 40 years of your salah, and according to some narration, 40 days of your salah is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be absolved from your responsibility of praying salah. But the benefits you should be deriving from salah, the upliftment, the qurb and the nearness, the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you should gain from this worship of Allah, you will not gain that. So my brothers, interest is a very, very severe thing. Hazrat Qari Siddiq Banvi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that there are three signs of a pious person, wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three signs. Number one, you will find this person in some sort of calamity all the time. He will be in distress, he will be concerned about something. One after the other, he will be inflicted by some sort of calamity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes he gets sick, he gets ill. Sometimes someone else in his family is sick. Sometimes he's going through a financial defeat or financial crisis. Sometimes other people are doing propaganda against him. Sometimes someone passes away in the family. Something or the other happens regularly in his life. This is one sign that he is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because my brothers, the most pious people to step foot on the surface of this earth are the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. They faced the most challenges and trials and temptations. They stood firm for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They stood firm for the prophets alayhim salatu wassalam, for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of all the prophets, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, study his seerah from the time he was born. Before he came to this world, his father was taken away. He was born as a yatim, as an orphan. His entire life is full of trials and tribulations. This is why Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha used to say that so many calamities came to my father. If the same amount of calamities would come on the day would turn into night. لَوْ صُبَّتْ عَلَى الْأَيَّامِ لَصِرْنَ لَيَالِيَا. If the amount of calamity which came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father, the day would turn into night. Despite that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood firm. And this was a sign that he was accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gave this statement, that if you wish to tread the path which I am treading, then be prepared to give sacrifice. Because أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَا ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. The most calamities come to the people who are called the prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam, than those who are the closest to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. So this is one sign mentioned by Qari Siddiq Bandwi rahimahullahu ta'ala. I'm running out of time, inshallah. In my next khutbah, I will continue this topic and I will mention other two things that he mentioned, the signs of the person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then wrap up this this khutbah, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand our religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice upon each and every single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi, Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.